You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Almost every movie about con people, they look so cool, man. They're just like, dude, I kind of want to be, I mean, until the end, right? Those movies never end well. Like, if you're a con man in the movie, you're the coolest badass in the world. You've got all these different grifts with neato names, like the Millennium Falcon and shit. You're like, yeah, man, we ripped those suckers out of all this money, and now comes the big con, the one we bought. And something's always going to go wrong, right?
Yeah.
Kajillionaire marks the first movie I think I've ever seen about con people where they're just fucking pathetic. Nobody wants to be these people.
No, they're not that good at it. They're good enough to survive, but man, they kind of suck.
They do kind of suck. I mean,
they're incompetent.
Yeah, they're incompetence.
Incompetent, yes.
That sounds a lot like incontinent. Well,
Bradley loves that joke, doesn't he? Look at him. No, sorry.
I do. Yeah, I'm going to use that later.
That's gonna be his rating thing. I give it 6 incontinence. So that was Bradley. Say hi, Bradley.
Hello.
And then there's Frank.
Hiya.
Say hi, Frank.
Hello.
And then there's Santi. Say hi, Santi.
Hello.
So no one's gonna do the grace joke. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm obviously the oldest one in the room. So this movie, Kajillionaire, is directed by Miranda July, who did the really interesting and underrated Me and You and Everyone You Know, an odd little arty drama comedy that I think has largely been kind of forgotten, sadly. I wasn't totally in love with it, but it was definitely really interesting. And she comes in to do Kajillionaire, which has got her friend Evan Rachel Wood in it, along with Richard Jenkins, Deborah Winger, and Gina Rodriguez. And I'm thinking, that's an impressive cast right there, yeah. Quite frankly. What do you got for us? Because the trailer made it look like maybe this was going to be kind of an absurd, maybe even Coen-esque comedy caper film. And I don't think that that's completely missing the mark, but it certainly isn't dead on either. Evan Rachel Wood plays Old Dolio. That's her name. She was named after a homeless person they were hoping would, after if they named her after him, would leave him all the money he won in the lottery.
I love that so much.
Yeah. Richard Jenkins is the dad of the family, Robert. Deborah Winger is the mom, Teresa. And they live in a small office right next door to a, I guess, bubble factory. Is that what that fucking place was?
I don't know what that place. I thought it was like a shipping place or something. Or like they ship soap or something. I don't know.
But, I mean, part of the reason they're able to live there so cheap is because 2 to 3 times a day, the walls, just bubbles come out of the walls because they have, like, a drainage problem. And so part of their deal is you get it cheap because you got to go with garbage cans and scoop off all the bubbles. These people are grifting on every level they can find a grift. And they're not super confident grifters. They're not the guys out there who are going to Vegas in a suit and plotting to take over some rich guy. No, they're good, like, a quarter here, $5 here. These are people when they pass by a payphone. How often do you see those anymore? But like, put their finger in the slot to see if
maybe when she was a baby. I don't know.
Exactly. And funny, you know, I mean, Evan Rachel Wood is right off the bat, you're not sure if you should be laughing or feel horrible because she seems like she's either a satire, like satirical caricature, or she is a portrait of a very rare and specific kind of abuse. And as it turns out, it's the latter. Holy shit. How do you deal with a movie that is showing you and is all about someone who's like the equivalent of those children who are raised in like darkness in a basement, but they're raised in the darkness of the soul? That's Kajillionaire. And its story is eventually this family meets a new person, Gina Rodriguez as Melody, who's a mile a minute talker who basically says, hey, I kind of want to do what you guys do. And they're like, we like her. And Evan Rachel Wood's like, I don't like her.
Oh, girls not liking other girls.
Anyway, I don't know. This is a movie I kept changing my mind about.
Me too. Yeah. I'm the same way. I think like, okay, this is not going to be for me. Then I'm thinking, oh, I really like that. I love how quirky this is. And then I thought, oh, this is actually kind of amusing. And oh my God, this is ripping my heart out. So, I mean, it's like I had nothing to comment on immediately after I saw it. Thank God I had the space of a few days because like this needs to linger to see how you ultimately like how it lands with you. There's just no like immediate reaction. It's so weird.
The onset was pretty promising, I have to say. I have changed my mind about this movie also. But the beginning of this film, I was like, wow, this is like Matchstick Men meets Choke or something. And I got really excited about where this movie was going. I do think that there are some turns that may be difficult to come back from as for me. But this movie is definitely odd and interesting. It probably will become a cult classic just based off of Evan Rachel Wood's incredibly impressive stoic performance. Like, she's like part the robot she was in Westworld and part this like tortured soul. And I honestly, there were some moments where I was staring at her and I was seriously in awe. Like, I bow my hat to her for her performance in this film. It is amazing.
It is a real choice. I mean, I feel like if this movie was like insanely popular, everybody on Saturday Night Live would be doing impressions of her all year because how could you not? I mean, she's just like, okay, guys, keep her arms down straight by her sides, and she wears a crappy jumpsuit.
She kind of want to be here for Halloween in a way.
But unfortunately, almost no one is going to see this movie outside of people like us and subscribers to indie type culture magazines. It's a shame. I do think this is good. Brad, is this up your alley? I can never tell with you what you're going to like and what you're not going to like.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I liked the idea of a quirky, super odd, very strange character that's actually shot genuinely and shot as these real problems would be for a person. And the kind of vices she has are funny, and then you take them incredibly seriously. Like when someone touches her and she's like, and it's all, oh, how quirky is that? And then the person reacts like, are you okay? And then she kind of eases back down into her center, into bringing herself back into the world. It's like, oh, shit, that's not funny. That's a real problem. Is someone addressing this, please? And Richard Jenkins, who I've been a huge fan of for as long as I can remember. I even saw that ridiculous Channing Tatum, Nicholas Sparks movie because Jenkins was in it.
There's so much surprises in this film in terms of just, you know, like the emotional beats. When there's a scene when they're in an old man's house pretending to be a family for him, and the way it affects old Dolio midway through it, it just hits you. It hit me like right in the center in my emotional core. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is not just a quirky little indie comedy. And it is a comedy because there are so many like, you know, lighter moments, like them trying to dodge the landlord, them cleaning up the soap.
Just weird moments.
Weird moments, yeah. But when it gets to something like that, so raw and real and very emotional, it's almost uncomfortable in a way, but it's so powerful. It's like, wow, this is something that I just can't dismiss outright.
I think that the arc of old Dolio is pretty compelling, particularly when they kind of make her out to, like, she's characterized to me as like someone who's been living with wolves.
Yeah.
Whenever she's pulling the nails off of, I forget the other character's name. But that scene was, you know, that was like really interesting, and it was awesome to watch. I do think that that's where the movie got into its depth of the character that Evan Rachel Wood plays. After this scene, though, I do think that the movie takes a turn that, and maybe this is indicative of Miranda July's style, which I know is like ubiquitous for being plotless. No offense to anybody who's a fan of her movies, but they are ubiquitous for having no arc. but the actual scenario where it turns into a comedy, I think halfway, a little bit, you know, I guess 3/4 of the way into the film, because the ending is hilarious. Like, I think it's funny and lighthearted. Like, I felt more lighthearted about the ending because I thought it was going to go in a different direction just based off the sheer performance by Evan Rachel Wood, the total, like, darkness of her character, as Bradley said. I mean, there was definitely, like, some really, like, people who, anybody who's had, like, a not-perfect childhood is going to feel a catharsis with what she's experiencing. I mean, not to the extent that, you know, she's experiencing particularly, but as Jenkins said, you didn't have a gentle birth or something. Isn't that what he said when she couldn't tell that that was a nice tie? It's like they know that she's been through hell and they're like, you know, okay with it.
My problem with laughing at this movie is only that there are parts that are decidedly both supposed to make you laugh and make you cringe at the same time, because they're funny until you think about the fact, like, Jesus Christ, this is weird. You're laughing because it's weird, but then you realize why it's happening and you're like, oh shit, that's actually not funny. And towards the end, that gets even more pronounced as you really start realizing that you're not just looking at an odd little comedy, you're looking at the story of a horribly emotionally abused little girl now grown up. I feel like this is intended as that sort of comedy. You are supposed to laugh occasionally and feel bad about it. In fact, Variety described it, I think nailed it. They said, it's like a Todd Solondz film without all the rape jokes. And I was like, oh my God, that nails it. Holy shit.
Do want to say that I think that that's apt, because the movie was funny the second half because I sincerely thought that we were in for a dark turn. It never came, so I was relieved.
Yeah, we were always in the dark tunnel is why. And you pointed out very well, Chris, something funny would happen, and then it just got, oh no. Like when she was in a gas station, was like, whoa, we should live here. Do you live here? I would live here. And it's funny. And then she starts piling a ton of stuff in her arms off the shelf and is like, we need to get this. We need to get that. Let's get this. And it's like, oh, that this isn't funny. She's a starving child that knows that her next meal could be her last. Why did I laugh earlier?
The situation she's in become exaggerated as it goes along in terms of like how big they are. And in those terms, it is funnier. And I think that it definitely has some light at the end. No question about it at all. Some sense of, okay, healing is in the future. But man, that's right before a super dark turn that the movie takes a turn in the beginning of the third act where you're like, I did not expect it to go this way. And like, okay, let's see where this goes. And it leads to a pretty dark place. And I was sitting there like, Jesus fuck, movie. You know, like, are you going to end like this? And thank goodness it doesn't.
Yeah.
But let's go to final thoughts. Bradley, get us started.
Well, I really enjoyed this. I always am so happy to see Evan Rachel Wood. If you see her in interviews or documentaries, she's been in a couple about Hollywood. You could tell she really wants to just play a character that speaks to people, but also allows them to learn something new about her and also about themselves. And I think this role is probably going to be one of her top five in her career easily. I know we probably won't have an award season this year, and this would probably get ignored anyway, but this is one of my favorite performances from her also. I want to recommend this a lot, because I enjoyed it, but it is a very hard watch. It's like, remember that Batman animated series with the orphans living under the sewers, and Batman saves them, and they're like, thank you, Batman. It's like that, except if one of the kids was all like, what do we do now? And then just started eating his shoes. And Batman's like, well, I'm not dealing with this. And Alfred's all like, I guess I am adopting more children. Anyways, I would give this, I'm going to go with 8 Tremors out of 10 big ones.
Cool. Frank.
You know, this really is the kind of charming little indie gem you hope to find this year, any year, anytime, not just at the beginning of award season. It's really unique, it's fresh, it's original, it's so consistently surprising, and it's got you know, a brokenness to it, but it's also got a real beauty to it. I think everybody here just acts their tails off, and nobody is like, I've seen them before. I really want to keep on heaping praise on everybody here, and this is definitely going to make my list for end of the year awards consideration across the board, from the acting to the writing to the directing to the dreamy way that this was shot. I think it's just very, very beautiful. I love the emotion of it. I love the quirkiness of it. Neither one is really overplayed. And I do love that at the heart of this is a story about a fractured family and a very compromised family. And ultimately, yeah, a story of abuse and the emergence from that. Because this is also a very great coming-of-age story. There are some choices made here by Evan Rachel Wood, which I'm not totally sure how I feel about, but overall do not make this anything less of a sublime experience, without question, all the way through. So I have to give this 9 out of 10 packets of uneaten airplane food, because every time I'm on a plane that has a meal service, I'm like, what do they do with the leftovers? What do they do with like the meals that they didn't give out? And I could definitely eat some. So, yeah.
Santi, did you know that Frank was a member of the Hollywood Foreign Press? I did not know that. What's your summation, your final thoughts?
Chris, you mentioned that you keep changing your mind about this movie. I feel like that's happened to me maybe 3 times since I started this review. I'm still on the fence about this movie because I think that it sincerely has a lot of elements that maybe are dear to my heart, but it also deals with the reality that I'm not necessarily familiar with. So it had fantastical ideas at first that made me maybe not empathize enough with these characters. Some of the things that Bradley and Frank said about how it's a portrait of abuse and it's a lot of dark places, I didn't necessarily realize that until you guys said it. I didn't see it that way. I think maybe some of like the acrobatics she was doing when sneaking into the post office like led me to believe that there is like some surreal element at work here, like she's actually a superhero. But I do think that there's also like something that is ignored whenever they decide to end this movie with the way that it does, when it comes to the characters that are created. And I think that's why I was a little bit disappointed with how this movie ended. I did think that there was some closure that I wanted that I didn't get. And anybody who sees the movie will know what I mean. All that being said, this movie was different. I thought it was really cool. I think Evan Rachel Wood has really shown what she can do in this movie as far as like her range as an actor, even while keeping a completely still face, is impressively broad. She has, you know, she's definitely got chops. Richard Jenkins brings it. He's hilarious. Always love him. I'm going to give this movie 7 out of 10 plied off press on nails.
I think the most interesting thing this film does is that these parents are never, as much as they do seem comic caricatures, they're so wildly exaggerated. You've never met any human being that lived the type of lives that these people do or behave like they do. So it's very odd and off-putting. We've never even seen people like them in movies. Like I said, these aren't calm, cool, collected con men. These are people with psychological troubles, like serious ones, like tics and affectations and weird phobias. They are unusual. And when you find out that they justify in their own heads how they treated and raised their daughter, because they, in their mind, everyone is out to get them. It's, as they said, the world is full of false, fakey people. Everybody is fake. Everybody is a liar. Everybody is only out to get what they can get from you. In other words, they think everyone is just like them. They thought they were protecting their daughter by helping her create this shell around her. It's a weird sort of parenting. And even like the kind of final thing they get to do is still this sort of sign of like, yeah, but we still love you. And it's weird. This whole movie will make you feel uncomfortable. You'll laugh at points. You'll feel bad about laughing at points. You'll be like, what is happening at points? But ultimately, I think I understood everything it was trying to do. It's kind of a look at the human race from the outside. And I'm quoting again from the Variety review, which I really liked. I recommend by Peter DeBruges. I looked it up, Frank. Who basically said this movie serves as a way of looking at the human race from the outside. They're like aliens looking in. And I like that. It is kind of what's going on here. They have nothing in common with anyone else. And they don't know how to function normally in our society. It's an interesting movie. I can't say I thoroughly enjoyed it or anything, because like I said, I just felt like ants crawling under my skin during large portions of this, because it's not a film that's going to leave your head easily, for sure. And the performances are really strong here, and it's weird, and it's just got so much iconic imagery. That image of them scooping bubbles off the wall and garbage cans, like bright pink bubble swaths coming down the walls. I mean, that's, you don't just forget that. It's an odd little film, and I do recommend it to people. I do think it is, once again, kind of like a Todd Solondz film, in that it's off-putting and kind of ugly and mean-spirited at points, but ultimately it does have something to say, and I don't think it's unimportant what it's trying to say. I'm gonna give this 7 round-trip tickets to New York City out of 10. Can't believe we never discussed that. Jeez.
Yeah.
It's Can you imagine being in an airplane with those people?
No. And that's such an elaborate con with so much room to go wrong in it as well.
Dude, whenever I watch one of the big con movies, I'm always like, I start to get like sweaty and paranoid watching it. I'm like, what are you doing? There's too many factors involved. This can't possibly work. And sure enough, it almost never does, but that's usually because one of them turns on the rest of them. You know, it's like, dude, this would have been a work of art if it wasn't for you.